Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
If you're a parent with a child that has special health needs, you know the challenges that go into not only finding a pediatrician that can, you know, respond and help you with those challenges, but everything from booking appointments and keeping weekly therapy sessions, speech therapy, asthma, whatever it is, can be quite confusing. And we've got some tips here for you. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Lail. She's a pediatrician. And Dr. Lail, welcome to the show. Let's talk about some tips for parents of kids with special needs. First of all, finding a pediatrician. I am in love with mine. She's an absolute god. And, you know, so I feel that I was so lucky. How does somebody with special needs children find that pediatrician that they fall for too?
I think you have to do your research. Go online. Look and see if you have a practice that's physically nearby you, because that's helpful if you can make a lot of visits to the doctor. But do your research. Look and see from other medical schools that are nearby, who might have trained there, who's on the faculty there. Look at your community and talk to other family members. Who do you like? Who has good access? Who returns your calls? And just choose your provider carefully. It is not at all unreasonable to interview someone and see if you like them and if you feel like that you can match up in your care.
Okay, so that was a very good tip, to choose your provider carefully and do your research. That's so important, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Give us another one.
I think another one is to know that if something doesn't make sense to you, question it. Many times parents will be very, very knowledgeable about their child's condition and certainly about their child. But if something doesn't make sense, question it. Ask if there are alternatives. Bring a list of questions with you to the appointment so that you've actually given some thought to the concerns that you have and are really ready to talk about the issues you want brought forward.
That's so important, because you get to the doctor, especially when there's a condition involved, and then you leave and you say, oh, I can't believe I forgot to ask. And I'm a consummate list maker, Dr. Lail, so I always write everything down, and my pediatrician looks at me and goes, okay, break out the list.
We love people like you.
You know, and I'm like, okay, here it is, you know, and we check them off together. And it's kind of a running joke between us, but really it does work, because then I don't leave feeling, you know, gypped, like I didn't get to ask all the questions. So listening, asking questions, you know, and bringing a list with you to your appointment. Give us another one that might involve preparing your child for this visit.
Well, I think that is absolutely critical. And a lot of children who've had a lot of encounters with the healthcare system are cautious about it, and wisely so. So make sure that you bring snacks and books and toys and things that your child will be able to entertain themselves if indeed there's a long conversation, if there's a wait for an x-ray or things like that, and try to predict for your child what might happen. Gee, I think today might be the day that that lady will stand you up underneath that tall thing and see how big you are. I think she'll probably give your arm an arm hug. Give your child some predictions about what might happen. And use your own judgment as a parent. There are some children who do better knowing far in advance about a shot that's upcoming, and others, parents will tell me, no, I'll tell them the second beforehand, and then they don't get anxious. So I think you can use your judgment as a parent about advanced preparation.
That's hilarious, because I know I have one child who I could tell him a month in advance and it doesn't bother him at all, and the other child, right when it happens, that's when I tell her, because it's really, you know, okay, honey, this is what's going to happen. Oh, and she doesn't have a chance to really respond, you know, and then it just, boom, it happens, and she's like, oh, that wasn't so bad. But sometimes that anticipatory, you know, anxiety is what can be a little bit worse. Give us another one about, you know, questioning your doctor. People, Dr. Lail, parents, sometimes are afraid to question doctors, especially pediatricians, because God forbid their pediatrician gets mad at them for questioning them. Oh, my goodness, what do you do then? So are we allowed to do that?
You bet. And I think one piece of language that I use a lot in meetings or with families is help me understand. And if you say to your pediatrician, help me understand, this antibiotic's given him trouble before, help me understand why we want to use it again. So when you present it as a help me understand, it's not a matter of challenging, I don't think you went to school long enough or anything like that. It's just a sense of saying, I want to understand how you and I can work best together. So I do think that when you phrase your some people might call it pushback, as a question, then you're asking for more information. So asking for more information will help keep any kind of ego issues at bay. The other thing I would do is keep your own records, because if you, particularly if you've moved a lot of places or if your child's seen at multiple medical centers or specialists, sometimes it's very valuable for you to say, you know, last week he had his echocardiogram done, and I don't even know if that report's available to you yet. So keep your own records. Even if it's in a spiral-bound notebook, it's a very helpful thing.
Well, keeping your own records now is even easier than it might have been before. I get a copy of everything, you know, records from x-rays and reports. And then you can even these days, parents bring a little zip drive, because so many of the records are now being kept electronically, and your doctors will put them on a little zip drive for you. And be sure you carry that around if you've got a child with special health care needs, for the medicines and allergies and diagnoses, so that if you do have to go to specialists, you can bring that stuff right there with you. Now, what about coordinating all those specialists that you might have to see if you have a child with Down syndrome or asthma or ADD? How do you coordinate that with your pediatrician?
Well, I think one of the things that's important, if you have the capacity and a lot of electronic record to do, there are patient portals where, for example, all your laboratory data may be uploaded to that. You may be able to make appointments on that. And those patient portals are a great electronic way, as are personal health records. There are templates for those online where you can keep a personal health record of what's going on. But truly, one of the things to do is when you're looking for your pediatrician is see if they have particular specialists they work with, if they're affiliated with the pediatric specialist at a local medical center, or if they have groups of people who are in their what we call medical neighborhood, that is wider than the medical home, people who help us in primary care, and people who might be your speech therapist or your occupational therapist. And once you find out that that person works collaboratively with those folks, then you can create the medical home as sort of the hub of the wheel. If you have care coordination within your medical home, many times those people will help you track referrals. If you work with some of the electronic records, they can actually print out a page for you of future appointments so that you can remember in advance, oh dear, we've got to get to this in December.
That's very helpful, and parents can really take advantage of that whole medical home situation as well, where they get that care coordination, maybe the printout. Now, what about condition-specific support? You know, if your pediatrician would know about support groups or somebody that you can, you know, meet with, or children, other children that are going through this that, you know, your child might be able to make friends with, is that a pediatrician's role as well?
I believe it is. And I will tell you one of the best stories ever. I had a mother who had a child with a particular food intolerance. And I asked her, she's a fabulous person. I said, would you help this other new mom with this? And she looked at me and said, no. And I was astounded because I never predicted that. And she said, no, I won't call her. I'll take her to the grocery with me. And I think that we left, of course, after that. But I think that there's so much in the community. There are condition-specific societies, the autism societies, the Down syndrome networks, mothers of asthmatics. There's so much in the community that can support you. There are school nurses who are particularly knowledgeable about asthma. And pediatricians are often very knowledgeable about the community resources in their medical neighborhood and can help you with that. Many times they can link you with other parents whose child has the same condition.
And those are some great tips for parents of kids with special health care needs. Choose your provider carefully. Ask friends. Do your research. Listen. Ask questions. Bring your list of questions to your appointment. Prepare your child and yourself for the visit. Let them know your child. Let them know what's going to happen. And if something doesn't make sense, question it. Maybe get your pediatrician involved in care coordination. See if they can help you coordinate visiting all those specialists and even help keep track of some of those appointments. Anything you can do to make it a little easier on your parents. This is Melanie Cole, listening to Radio MD. Stay well.